champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
And welcome back, everybody, to Belt Kings Radio Presents Champions, episode 11. one 11, people. We are here, and we're in the middle of July. And so we're going to continue with our United States Championship titles because, frankly, next year, we won't have U.S. belts to talk about. But just maybe there's another one we can bring up, and that's the new one we only touched on. But as always, I am your host, Mike Knox. And as always, I'm joined by my kicks art, my fixed nephew, Corey, from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence. What's going on, Corey?
Hey, what's going on, man? Good to be on another show, and just let's get it rolling, man.
Yes. And for us, happy birthday, because our birthdays are coming up. This is Leo season. Yeah. So yeah, happy birthday to two of my favorites of all time. Three of my favorites of all time are all Leos, and that's in Shawn Michaels, Michael Hickenbottom himself, HBK, Triple H, Paul Levesque, and also Dolph Ziggler. He will always be Hill Ziggler to me. So happy birthday to my three of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And I got my Shawn Michaels short shout out to Chalk Line. I was in line early. I said a lie. I was not in line early. Belt King of his own, Mo underscore Eaton, did it for me. He was up. I was at work. He got the shorts for me. They came in the mail yesterday. So I am appreciative of that. But today, Corey, we have to be talking about the most – I'm going to say the – when you think of U.S. titles, despite all the bling of late, this is actually the – U.S. title championship that most people think about, and it only came in existence in 1991. It has had two versions of this title.
Yep.
I believe they were made by the same person. Talk about who made it and the two different versions of this title that we have, Corey.
All right, so whoever was the designer, because it's still kind of murky on who the designers were at this point, because at this time, belt designers weren't really lauded if it wasn't past Reggie Parks, pretty much. So on the WCW side, because Reggie Parks was making the WWE belt, I couldn't really find who was the maker of this one. And you, in a secret society, it could well have been Reggie Parks, and we don't even know it.
Right.
Nonetheless, as we stated, there were two different versions. We talked about, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the first version, which the main difference was it had the two plates on each side.
Right.
This one just has the one. There were detailing on the first belt. And it, to me, between the two, I actually like the first one better.
Okay.
The first one is a little bit smaller in size. They couldn't find the dimensions, but you can look at it and see the first one was actually a lot smaller than the current one. The 95 to 2001 version. That belt had a larger center plate, and they made it more so to the vein of the big gold, to where it just had the one plate on each side. Much more detailing on the front. The side plates were pretty much just tooling. There wasn't any kind of figures or any kind of logo or anything like that. It was just tooling on the side plates. It was different. It was interesting. The tooling pretty much resembled the last television championship.
It
had that nice tooling on it, but no real kind of logos, symbols, or anything like that. So that's pretty much all you – I mean, you had the United States with, I think, the four stars on it.
Yeah.
The white and the red stripe.
What you thought about just having – when you look back at this title, this beautiful bean footage of a wrestling title – and like you said, it's not much to this one compared. And this is the second generation one, though, okay?
Yeah.
Like, and what you're talking about from the first generation. There's a lot of differences in here. But what did you think about having the four stars, having the flag, and, you know, still representing the United States? I don't think no one ever even cared about that.
It still had a huge eagle on it. And so it was still very much emblazoned as a United States championship. But to be honest, I think that – it made it unique with WCW because with WWE or WWF at the time, you know, their belts were really, like, you knew what their belts looked like.
Right.
Like, you never really got to – you got more up-close shots of championship belts in WWF than you did in WCW. I mean, if it wasn't the big gold, kind of, I mean, you knew if you watch, but other than that, I mean, like I said, the television title was pretty much plain.
That NWO title is not nothing plain about it.
The television one, though? That's what I'm talking about.
The Arn Anderson or the WCW television title.
WCW television.
Yeah, that was pretty bland.
Their
tag team was bland then. That belt were bland. And now you point that out, right? And again, I'm thinking back, like, they never really did zoom on their belts a lot, you know, except for certain titles. Big Goldie obviously being one of them. And this one as well. And as I'm looking at both belts again side by side, we did the other show, episode 10, about the one predated this one. But looking at this, you know, them compared side by side, there are very big differences in this title for WCW rather to go this route. I think that this might have been a culture thing, maybe something that, like you said, you already said, to separate them from WWF and from their other titles, because it's those gold always, you know, tag them with and put them with, if you will, so to speak, getting a big gold bar and just smashing it, right? It's like they took this belt and they smashed it and then put the eagle over top and then the two side plates. It's very, very few detail in it. You got to really get in on this title. It's beautiful, okay? But you got to get in on this title to see the design, which is inside that stamped, if you will, so to speak, gold bar. Continue.
Yeah, it was pretty much and what's weird, not weird, but what was interesting for this to be the mid-card title, something that I noticed on the United States Championship, that kind of stacked, layered out, rectangular, almost like layered center plate was pretty much exactly like the Intercontinental Championship.
Okay.
If you look at both of them, you can see key features that resemble each other in the two mid-card championships. So I think it was a cool comparison with the two.
It's that plate over plate over plate.
Over plate, look.
Okay. Which I'm a fan of. Every time I make a belt on WWE 2K20 or whatever wrestling game I'm playing, I like I'm the plate guy, right? And then and only difference is you have the globe and the eagle. And the difference between the two. And you have the banner. This is what I think is different. It's the banner on this one that goes overhead. And I like it says WCW, United States Heavyweight Champion. And we took notice. We go back to, I believe that was episode 2, the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship, but they don't refer to it, WWF, that is, or WWE, does not refer to it as the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, they hadn't referred it to that since pretty much the 80s.
About 30 years.
Yeah.
Not more. It's just, I love when Macho would say that, and when they would say that, it meant something. And for WCW to have this and have it be called, you know, the WCW United States Heavyweight Champion, I always thought that was a big deal. This belt is one of the most synonymous belts with them, with Big Goldie. Where do you think this belt probably ranks in popularity? Because we've already predated this. We have a guy on YouTube, on our Instagram page, Belt Kings, that is, on Instagram, who just hates, who I think we were talking about the GOAT of this title, which is Lex Luger.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that.
And I tell people, like, hey, you know, hey, you're entitled to your opinion. That's what makes wrestling wrestling. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing as wrestling fans, and why I love this show. We don't have to argue about our opinion. It's yours. It's mine. It's equally loved, you know, and I may not agree, but hey, you know, that's just the world in which we live in. But when I think of this title, I do think of him, Lex Luger. And I think the total package, and I think for a belt to be Flair's, let's just keep it what it is. Big Goldie was Flair's.
Absolutely.
With staying going forward, I always use the adage that I love JR uses, you know, the antagonist, you know, approach to the title verse. And I love that saying. And so when you look at this United States Heavyweight Championship, this was Lex's titles. Lexi, whatever you want to call it. Was this the first person? I mean, it was the first person to hold this title moving over from 91 and the revision of this title. Let's just keep that in mind. He had both belts first.
Did he? I'm trying to think now. I'm thinking, because the other belt came in 95. Was he the first one with the second one? I don't think he was. I'm to be honest, I think
you are absolutely right. It's see, here's the problem that I've had looking at this title. I think we're on the same page. It's a lot of vacant, and I want to know who the heck is vacant. And I'm apologizing those
vacant
right now.
Vacant is the greatest champion ever. Vacant's held every belt pretty much. Men's
huh?
It's a joke, Mike.
Okay, I know that. Okay, duh. That can play. Look, because I'm trying to read this stuff, and I'm like, huh? Okay, I get it. But okay, so 95, it does say Sting. But before Sting, Mick Bockwinkel stripped vacant of the title. How that better for you? And then Sting had it. But I remember these robberies with Sting. And I was wrong about that. So what's his thing? It was Lex had the first one staying.
Yeah, because at that time, remember, Lex was still in WWF at the time.
Yeah. So I'm glad you see. That's why I have that they call the Wizard. He has so many names. Okay. And I'm glad that I have a little Wizard upon myself. Also, I am Gryffindor, my brother. You have a house? Are you a Potterhead? I'm a Potterhead too.
You're not a Potterhead.
You probably like Lord of the Rings, didn't you?
No, I didn't watch either.
You're the guy I love that says my other world was wrestling. That was my comic book world. That was my other outing.
That was it. Yeah, so, that was.
But well, he's still the Wizard, and I'm still a Potter guy, and he just helped out the Potter
Fair
guy.
Enough. No, and that.
But those rivalries with Sting and Vader was.
Man, those to me
are the times we're putting Sting over there, Corey.
Yeah, they and it was. What's funny? It was believable, obviously, that Vader was beating Sting, and he was. But they made it believable when Sting would beat Vader, because Sting would beat Vader. And that's what I thought was so cool about it, was that as unstoppable as Vader was.
And he was unstoppable.
I mean, they still kept Sting at the top, as the top babyface, to say Sting can still get a win if needed. And they weren't cheap wins or mm-hmm. – They weren't wins where he barely skated.
No. They were good. That one at Great American, Clash of the Champions, most that sticks out mostly. That was just a clothesline off the ropes. Yep. He went for the pin, and we were like, whoa. It was like out of nowhere. But let's get back into this title before we get back into the matches that made the title. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is a replica I've seen a few years ago, not so much now. So is this a title? Where can one find this United States title?
Got to go on eBay. Unless you get one made for yourself, you got to go on eBay. You could actually find at a decent price the Figures Incorporated release.
Okay.
When WWE was releasing these, it is the most, all of them, if you find one of the ones that are officially licensed, they are the 2mm versions. That's just what they were making back
then.
But you can find it, and it won't cost you that much either. I mean,
this is the belt that I always see in those auction things and like different Facebook belt groups people give away. And I'm not an eBay guy, okay?
Yeah,
but
sure.
When I do go to eBay every blue moon, this is a title that I do see there.
But yeah, most of them are customs.
Okay, so in that route, would you go the eBay route or would you go the custom route?
It depends on what you're looking for. If you want the figures, some people want the officially licensed one. Some people just want it in the collection.
Okay.
If you're going the route of finding an officially licensed one, you're going to pay, close to whatever it was for retail, maybe a little over. So pretty much retail back then, it was about $350.
Okay.
Then, so you're going to pay around four something, I would say.
I'm believing all customs are about four something, between four and
five. Yeah, for the custom, but that's
four and six.
It's up to you. If some people really want the Figures Incorporated one as the collection, some people want the collections.
Now, for those who don't know, who are listening to Belt Kings for the very first time, this is episode 11. Thank you for tuning in. You know where all the channels are below. No need to plug them. You can see them. What's the difference between the Figures Incorporated one and then, say, getting a custom belt for those who don't know?
I mean, it's pretty much the official license. I mean, if you're getting a custom one, you're pretty much not getting it as the officially licensed from WWE because they own the license of WWE.
Okay.
But
so is there like there's a stamp on the back?
Yeah,
of the belt, right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it'll say WWE. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think WCW on their tail end, on their way out, I think were making replicas of these.
They were
on their way out.
This is the one belt, honestly, that I saw a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from fans, and I don't know where they got them from. And I love the show because we think and we go back.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know where belts came from, but if I saw a belt on TV, this was one of them for some reason between the crowd.
Yeah, saw this. You're actually right. You actually saw this one a lot as far as a replica amongst fans. And I still, every once in a while, would see that belt, you know, that somebody would bring it out. And mm-hmm. it was incorporating one, whether it was the WCW one or it was the later release WWE ones when they were retroing the WCW belts for a short time. That was just sidebar, but not a sidebar. That was probably the best time
to get a belt.
Yeah, I wish I was my age now then.
Okay.
As far as having the job and income then as well, because I could have picked up a whole bunch of belts then.
Then, okay.
Because you got to figure at one point, WWE, or through Wrestling Superstore, through Figures Incorporated, they had all of the WCW belts, all of the classic current WWE ones, all of the classic WWF ones. I'm talking about classic from like the late 80s. Like they had they had both of the Hogan belts.
I love that first HH title of WWE belt. We'll talk about that another time as well. But I love that oval belt. I love that.
The Hogan 86.
Yeah. Yes, the 86 one, yes.
Mm-hmm. At that time, all of those belts were out. And I want to say the last time I maybe saw that all of those belts were out, I want to say I was maybe at, maybe WrestleMania 25 or 26.
Okay.
I probably was at. And I was at Access. And on their wall.
There it was.
One of them. Yeah. Every single one of them. I mean, the Andre 87, the Hogan 86. All of those belts, that was the time, because now all of those belts have at least probably tripled in value.
And that's the hard part here about being a belt king, okay? Mm-hmm. And you need five. You cannot have one belt. Don't go buy this belt. It's a custom. And you go, hey, can I be a belt king? No! Got to have five. Well, that's just a note from me. It's all right. Come one, come all. We welcome you all. That's for darn sure there. Yeah. Is this a Bobby? And I'm not, you know, mm-hmm. we got so many. Y'all got so many. You say somebody, you ain't seen that one. I think I've seen Mo have this belt.
He probably does.
Okay. I believe now, Mo
has this because belt. Because I'll put it this way. This one, and I know how Mo operates with the method he goes about getting his belt.
Right, right.
This belt does pop up every once in a while.
eBay.
Yeah, at a good deal. It does. Somebody is probably just trying to get rid of it because it is a 2mm. Because a lot of people go to custom route because they're closer to the thickness and the weight of the actual belt. The other side of the coin is that some people actually do want the officially licensed one, so they go after those. And a lot of people get rid of them because they're like, you know, it may be a little tarnished or maybe a little worn from back then. And people do go after it and they get rid of it. So you can steal one at a very decent price. If you look, you just have to be diligent in looking for this stuff. But that stuff absolutely pops up. It does.
Now I get this question an awful lot, okay? And and this is the question that I can't answer. Okay. I am a brand ambassador, and I don't mean that I'm ambassadoring anybody. I'm just a brand whore. Excuse my language, mama.
Sure.
That's just who I am. So, but this question gets asked, and I always go, I don't care. If you're just collecting titles, a commemorative belt, and that's even going a custom route, is a lesser, you know, even a cheaper custom belt. What's your thoughts on really having a commemorative belt? You know, because there's belts you can buy, they're going to just put on your wall. They're never going to go anywhere. And commemorative belt would be great to just buy. You know, you don't want to spend the big money. That you're not going to take it out. You're not going to get it signed. It's going to be sitting in a little case on a wall looking like The Rock's house when he cut that promo on John Cena, which is one of the best promos of all time. I think everybody said, let me get a glass case at my house because of The Rock's home. Okay? Mm-hmm. They were in IKEA, by the way. Okay? just like you guys know, it was an IKEA case. But commemoratives, your thoughts on that? Because I don't think they're too bad, although I wouldn't personally get one for it.
That's you pretty much said exactly what I was going to say. It's all about your preference. The commemoratives are so pretty much on point that you see somebody at an event with one, unless they tell you it's a commemorative, if you see one in passing, you can't tell. Mm-hmm. Especially to be financially responsible.
There it is. I think that's the, repeat that like John Cena when he's.
You have to be financially responsible to understand that you're only going to have it on your wall or in a case or something like that in your man cave to design your basement or something. Just buy the commemorative. Yeah. If you're not taking them out, if they're literally only for display, the commemorative, I've never seen commemoratives at full price. They are always.
Always. They're buck 30.
Always.
Buck 30. Yeah,
always. So why not? I mean, And I've told people a long time ago, if they were coming out with commemoratives first, I absolutely.
Because that would do the difference. That's the price they were. I just bought it. And again, I learned it. I talk it. I speak it out loud. I'm a real person. My wife wants the tag team belt for the longest time. And I think, you know what? I can get two commemoratives for the price of one regular belt.
Yeah.
I'm going to go that route.
Absolutely.
We're going to just be mounted above our bedroom, king, you know, his and hers. And I love the fact that my wife's into wrestling enough because she likes, you know, she wants to watch it and she thinks she
can. Well, for that situation, I commend it because she just wants to be included with something with you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go all out in the ass. She don't care. She just
wants the belt.
Belt with you.
Yeah.
She just wants a belt with you.
Yeah.
So you don't need to go. Not saying that you don't value her to get a replica.
Absolutely.
But it's the notion. It's just the thought. She just wants to say, hey, I'm with my husband. We're tag team champions.
And with that being said, on that beautiful beam footage, this belt, although the U.S. title for WCW was Lex Luger, the first one for this belt, 1995, wasn't the one-man gang. It was Sting, a man called Sting at the Great American Bash for 148 days, Corey.
Yeah, Great American Bash of 95. I think he fought Ming at that.
Yes, he did. Look at you, the wizard. Okay, I'm reading mine. So when you say it, I'm like, baby, yeah, that's what it says right down the street.
I think that, if I'm not mistaken, I think that was a tournament final, I think.
It was. Are you reading?
No, I'm
There's
not.
There's no reading in baseball.
No. It's just I watched.
I know. You and my son both. I can't wait till he gets older, yo. Because I'm just, what he said. But and Ming in that tournament. And Ming was a good competitor in WWE.
Here's the thing.
What do you mean, Colonel Parker?
If I'm not mistaken, And here's the thing with Ming. He was built very much unstoppable. Like
Goldberg.
He was almost Goldberg, Brock Lesnar-ish.
Yes, he was.
He was booked as a legitimate, like, tough guy that you were not beating. And you could hit him with chairs, you could hit him with anything. He was not letting go of the tongue and death grip. And you just had to lose to him. So the only people that you really saw beat Ming at that time were people like Sting. And, you weren't seeing in Hogan. You weren't seeing people beat Ming. He was very protected at that time.
Yes.
In a sense of how he was booked. Because he was booked as a legitimate, like the guy. And,
Ming was one tough $2 steak, as they would say. And I want to know personally where you get a $2 steak at, because I would never eat it. I love steak. But Sting, 148 days, winging at a Great American Bash in 1995, goes on to Tokyo, Japan to lose that belt. To who, Wizard?
If it's Japan, who had it at the time?
I just can't pronounce the name. I was hoping
Sasaki.
You could pronounce it correctly.
Was it Kasugi Sasaki? Sasaki!
Sasaki! Right.
Yeah, it had to be.
Who had it for 44 days to lose to the one-man gang.
Yeah, one-man gang, gosh. Was that, I'm trying to think.
Starcade.
Yeah, because that one, because Gang didn't have that for long, because that's when it went to Conan.
Look at you and your memory banks.
No, is because I watched some of this stuff back.
Okay.
That was a weird period in WCW that the focus was so on Hogan, and then it was kind of shifting off of Hogan because Hogan was ready to go away for a little bit.
Yeah.
They reformed the NWO. So you kind of had, some mixed kind of title runs in there for all the titles, really, It was a weird time for WCW.
Yeah, we went through that looking back at other titles, and you're mm-hmm. right. You can clearly see the change. And mm-hmm. you have to remember that time in pro wrestling, right? Suspend what you know now and go back to yesteryear and remember those moments and those times, because there still are goats in this title for, you know, as we give goats for everyone these belts. And as I look at this, Lex Luger, it's not Lex Luger, it's in one of them. All my life, I'm going to say those two names wrong. It's just Lex. I think of Lex. I'm the Lex versus Vicker.
It is what it is.
You know, but he's not in this. He gets one more title shot in this, and he loses it after one day, does Lex. Yeah. You know, one day title mm-hmm. reign, then he loses to Bret Hart, who, you know, oddly enough, has had this title more than anybody.
Yeah, and
know, that short title span.
That's what, and you know what, it maybe not an on-purpose segue, but that kind of leads into the Mount Rushmore in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, I mean, at least for me, I'm definitely saying Sting.
Absolutely.
I'm definitely, here's the other one.
Okay.
I'm definitely saying Conan, and the reason why, he defended that title.
Every day.
Mexico and everywhere. He defended that title and he had about a 6-month run with it.
160 days.
Yeah, and I think Flair at Bash at the Beach, I think.
Yes, it was.
So and here's why I don't count Flair, is because that title on Flair was really just a plot to keep it as
relevant. Okay,
Flair's got keep a belt.
It's Flair. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, no. I mean, he did have defenses in there. He had a lot of good. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think Guerrero, and that's one. And once again, segue, Guerrero Flair for the United States Championship was one of those greatest matches type thing, because that match was so good, and it was Flair and Guerrero. Hmm. And so anyway, back to Mount Rushmore.
No. I like where you're going, because it does. Eddie having his title and beating Dominellis Page, right? Mm-hmm. And then Dean Malenko. This is the Eddie Dean Malenko stuff that you went through for a second. And Jeff Jarrett gets in there and steals some time in there. And then this is where the NWO starts to get up. Steve McGlynkos and then Kurt Hennig comes in and gets the title. Then Page gets the belt back. Raven, you know, one day, you know what I mean? And then this begins the Goldberg era of,
title. You just named my next person.
Belt thing.
Goldberg is also on the Mount Rushmore. Reason why, he was undefeated. He defended it. And he gave it up based on becoming world champion. That alone, even if it was for, what did he have, maybe 30, 40 days or something like that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well,
Goldberg had it for 77 days.
Yeah, April to July. So it was about 77 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So realistically, though, no, he went undefeated as United States champion. He's going on there to me.
And undefeated. I think Goldberg does go on this list. I think that Sting goes on this list. You said Conan. I'm going to throw in there the last WCW champion there was, and he held two belts at the same time doing it, in Booker T.
That's when I said, I debated on Booker T. The only reason why I didn't put Booker T is because there was such a lull in time between when he got it in March, when he defeated Scott Steiner, and he was, you know, and he became the double champion. And all. Uh-huh. There was such a lull to where he didn't defend it, and then he just gave it to Kane. It was like, for me, I was kind of like, I'm good. I'm good. That was me. I was like, I'm good.
How about this one? Mm-hmm. Three-time champion. But was he really the U.S. champion, or was he the Canadian heavyweight champion of the world? And Lance Storm, who had three title reigns, 66 days.
Lance is a days,
short run at 13 days, so 2 weeks.
Lance was a good one, and the reason why is because he was holding three belts at one time. He was, I got to remember, he was a Canadian heavyweight champion.
Uh-huh.
He was, gosh, I can't remember what he called the cruiserweight.
Okay.
I know the hardcore champion should be called the Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Something hardcore. But he had three belts. I mean, you can't, he's up there. I don't think, I'll just say it. Sting, Conan, Goldberg. Interchangeable, so I gotta pick one. It's honestly, it's between DDP and Bret Hart. I'm going to go Brett because he had substantial runs with it, at least, and he did defend it.
So you're going U.S. title from 95 to 2001. You're going Goldberg. You're going Conan.
Yep.
Bret Hart.
And Sting.
And Sting.
I want to put DDP in there so bad. You know what? No, because Brett wasn't even a WC. Take Brett out. I'm putting DDP in.
Brett's the only four-time champion of this title, baby.
I think I'm putting DDP in because I think it meant more that he had it.
It's okay. You know where I'm going to go? You know, we go every single time we do this show. Who made the title look like they love the belt? Yeah. DDP looked like he's going to be able to. So you got DDP. You got Conan.
Sting and Goldberg. Those are my four.
It's rarely we agree. This isn't one of them.
I figured that was coming. That's
I look at this list and it's literally nothing wrong with it. I want to buy out there. How can you go wrong with TDP, Conan, Sting, and Goldberg? I'm going to agree with Sting. I'm definitely going to agree with Goldberg. As you said, he went undefeated with the title. Okay. And I actually have a difficult time. We've been waiting to do the show for 2 weeks, right? So I've looked this over, and it's just, to me, so many people you can put there. You can put Benoit, you can put Eddie, you know what I'm saying? Because to me, Eddie's run was significant in making Eddie Eddie.
Malenko too.
You can put Malenko too, like you said, interchangeable there. I think it really is hard. I think you have to go with Conan, although, you know, because he got it again later on in the NWO. Yep. And he made it look really good having that title.
Yep.
But why not put Brett? He is the best there is. The best there was, and the best ever will be next to Shawn Michaels. Okay. Yeah. And four times he came because of him leaving WWF.
Right.
Right. Coming to WCW, they had to give him something. And they gave him everything, to be honest. The plate against Goldberg for the spear. He was a really heel guy. And I know that. You know, he was one of the few cogs that didn't fit in the spacely sprockets of WCW that came over from WWF. He just, I don't know. He never to me fit in that company, but he fit wearing that title, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely.
I love him as U.S. champion. So I'm going to go DDP. Oh, you get me all confused and discombobulated, man. Sting, Goldberg. No, I might have to take Sting out of here. I think I got to take Sting out. I'm going Goldberg. I'm going Bret Hart. I'm going Conan. And I'm going DDP.
Okay.
And I'm going DDP. That's my final answer. And I'm going to write it down before I forget it. Because I will forget it. So we both got Goldberg.
It's hard because you got your Steiners. You got Jeff Jarrett is also pretty up there too, to be honest. Because Jeff Jarrett was the true meaning of getting the United States title on your way to becoming world champion. So, it's hard.
Listen, that's a good title. That's a good belt. Those are good champions. Mm-hmm. What are some of the best matches for you for these champions? Because, again, we talked about the class of champion with Sting.
Definitely Dean and Eddie from Uncensored 97, which is actually a very good pay-per-view. I believe that's the one Six interfered, I think, with the video camera.
Okay.
Costing Eddie Guerrero, because I think Eddie got hit with the camera.
And I'm sorry to block you off there. Don't forget Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig having his belt for such a long time, too. Winning that belt where? Come on, your backyard, 1997. I know your uncle took you to that one. Starrcade 97?
That was DDP that won it. That's why I was wondering.
Okay, I was wrong.
See, that's why I was like, I don't know where Henning won it, but I was there.
On a Nitro in Charlotte.
Yeah,
that's what I meant to say.
Yeah, yeah. DDP, I was going to say, I was there for that. Like that.
My screen jumped. I wasn't ready.
Dare I say, I mean, obviously, just with that pay-per-view,
yeah.
Obviously, the reaction of Sting winning was big.
Okay.
But DD, I'm talking about like right just like that, DDP winning United States Championship. They went crazy for that. That was,
I saw that pay-per-view. And you're not lying. Huge. I can only imagine being in that building. That was DDP winning that belt. People got to understand, this is why I have him on this Mount Rushmore for this belt, right? Because I don't think there's many Mount Rushmores he will fit on. And it's nothing against DDP in whatsoever. It's placement of wrestling, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad if I can look back and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But to put him on this one, right?
Yeah,
because
for
what it's all worth, okay, people, wrestling fans, you know who you are. You're listening.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first people's champion.
Yeah.
He was the first people's champion. And, you know, The Rock takes it. He runs with it. It's his.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But the first one to say it and the first one to get over using it really kind of was DDP.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. Absolutely was.
And winning that belt was one of the biggest things to me.
Mm-hmm.
Watching that happen.
You know what's weird, Mike? Is not weird. But it's interesting because, you know, DDP even once or twice had already been television champion.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, for the way DDP was booked that whole year of 97, from, you know, kind of being, you know, maybe entertained as the free agent that the NWO wanted.
Yep.
And staking his claim as WWE and turning into a full-fledged face. Then the feud that put him on the map with Macho Man.
Yeah.
You know, the you know, kind of pulling the curtain back and you find out Kimberly's really his wife.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and then the building up of he's getting so close, he's so close, and NWO or something always
interfering.
He just can't get there. And then all of a sudden, he finally gets – that was that win, actually thinking back on it, that win was just as important as Sting beating Hogan.
Because
if you think about it, DDP was, I mean, they had already pretty much run its course with Luger being kind of the WCW banner guy.
Yeah.
And it was like you wanted DDP to win. You knew, you kind of knew Sting was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You really wanted, like you wanted DDP. You'd have had, I'll put it this way, fans would have had a foul taste in their mouth, even with Sting winning. If DDP doesn't win that.
Yeah.
I think the way that whole year had been booked, see, you had to end it to where, and with the last three matches, I think, of that pay-per-view, they really made it to where it was a feel-good story and WCW finally got over the hump. Because I think Zbyszko beats, is it Bischoff, I believe?
Which one?
Zbyszko, I think did he beat Bischoff or Scott Hall? He beat one of controllers of Nitro, Larry Zbyszko. He wins that match, so WCW wins back Nitro. If I'm not mistaken, I think that was Bischoff the referee or what?
I think Bischoff was the referee in that one, if I can recall. Yeah, I have a fuzzy brain.
Then he fought Scott Hall then. I'm just trying to think. Let me see if I can look that up.
It was gonna plague you, but taking into that match, and it just, I'm glad we're staying here for, because I don't think DDP gets enough credit, right? And what you're saying, we're going back. We're talking about this title, people. This WCW United States Heavyweight Championship, and here goes this guy who the NWO is recruiting, and you think about this for 1 second, fans. If DDP goes to the NWO.
Yeah.
WCW is probably officially dead.
Yeah, he defeated Eric Bischoff. I was
okay.
Right.
It's probably officially dead at that point. Yeah. And he fakes him out, hits the diamond cutter, and he runs through the crowd. And it's literally at that moment just as big as Goldberg in a sense. It was huge.
I'll put it this way. DDP joining the NWO would have been – that definitely would have been a death. That would have been bigger than somebody like Luger joining.
No, Luger joining wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been that. It wouldn't have been that big of a deal.
No.
But DDP, if he had went, you'd have been like, whoa! Like
he was the WCW guy from the Diamond Stud and everything that he's done before that, bringing in guys that Scott Hall winning that belt. I want to talk about this for 1 second against Bret Hart. In a fatal four-way ladder match on Nitro against Sid and Bill Goldberg. It was one of those funny matches.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, that's at the time where Scott Hall is kind of like he. I mean, career wise, he's in and out.
Yeah.
Where I think he had to give that up not too long after that.
No, he had it for 41 days.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. If you think that's a month. Like pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
In a week. That's pretty much five nitros, pretty much.
It was given to Chris Benoit because he had the knee injury to Scott Hall at that time at Starrcade. And then, you know, from there, the rest is history. But finishing it up on this title, on this beautiful being footage of a belt, two side plates, the one big center plate, got the nice little banner, got the little different of kind of an eagle sitting there, the traditional WCW flag with the four stars and the red, white, and white star in there, but it's still the continental United States drawn out over top of it.
Yep.
I love this belt, guys. The ultimate thing is that I think this belt has had some great champions. We've named just a few, and I'm going to name some more just to go real fast. Benoit, Jeff Jarrett several times, Scott Steiner, Lance Storm we've mentioned, Terry Funk's had this belt. Shane Douglas had this belt. Rick Steiner had this belt. Booker T. Canyon. Who's better than Canyon? Okay? Tajiri had this belt. Rhino had this belt. The list goes on and on and on, guys. Like I said,
Edge is the last champion of this.
Edge is the last champion of this belt. I just didn't want to say that because it was WCW, but it was there. Kurt Angle had it too. Y'all see him.
Yep.
Kurt. I flipped them around for this one. If you was looking close, like, who's in this picture? That's Kurt Angle back there. Okay. But I love this belt, Corey. I think, like you said, if this is a belt, you just want to, and this is what I want to fans and supporters of the show to listen, that if you're collecting titles, right? That's why we do this show. We love belts. We love talking about these belts and the guys who had them and give a little history about them as well. But get yourself a commemorative if that's what the budget calls for. It's okay. Okay?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. This is not like going to buy a pair of Jordans from Cowtown and you get home, you realize that it's not Michael Jordan, it's Big Pun flipping in the air. All right? There's a difference here. You're still going to get a nice belt here, okay, guys, that you can be proud of. You can rock out and enjoy, and you can have the marriage of the title. Listen, there's nothing like the very first time that I put that belt, which was my very first title, the Undisputed title, that I put on my shoulder, and it was just a feeling that you get walking with that belt. I love, shout out to King Coley, who does his Title Tuesdays. I love when he shares people pictures. You just see the in some people's faces how happy they are because that belt, when you wear it, when you put it on, means something, right? I'm giving my slammy to my wife to help her through her fasting deal. So, like, when she comes in, I say, grab this. It's something she knows. It's like, I have the power. He-Man has nothing on you having a wrestling title in your hand. So let it fit in the budget. Get yourself one, guys. It's Leo season. You want to go ahead and donate one to a Leo. We're okay with that, okay? If not, Christmas is coming, and we'll get you back. But with that being said, Corey, any final words on this? WCW United States Heavyweight Championship.
I think WCW at this time, when this belt was out, they did a good job of making sure you knew that was the second title to the World Heavyweight Championship. There were times that this belt felt more important than the Intercontinental Championship as far as the second. When you compared the two, to WWE's merit, the Intercontinental title pretty much kind of took on its own aura or history to where it made itself its own individual title in a sense, the way they booked it, that you didn't always view the Intercontinental title as the next step to the WWE Championship like you used to, but WCW always maintained that mystique about their mid-card championship, that it was the next step up. They always made it a point to make sure they said, you know, being United States champion pretty much makes you the number one contender to the World Heavyweight Champion.
I miss those days.
Yeah, see, because WWF pretty much wasn't doing that. Yeah. They were booking, like I said, to their merit, they booked the Intercontinental Championship as its own title. You knew it was the workhorse / secondary mid-card title.
Right.
But it was never booked at – excuse me, or booked as, oh, this is, you're the number one contender to the world championship. WCW did that.
Mm-hmm.
You had it to where, yeah, United States Championship always had its own matches and its own, But they always kind of slip that in that, okay, you know,
being number one contender.
The number one contender to the world championship. So I always, you know, considered that a big thing with the United States championship.
You know, again, things you learn, things you forget, those who may not remember that, I know they're hoping they're remembering it right now. That was a very big thing about this title, Corey, is just, you know, the number one contender. You knew if you got this, this was your money in the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You didn't know when you were going to get it. You had to kill defend it. But, you know, they threw it out there. You didn't think about it. They didn't always get the shot at the title. But the fact that they could get a shot at the title by being the number one contender, it meant a lot. And that's one of some of the things I think that I like what AEW is doing by having these tiers of guys in records. I know some people don't like them. I personally, I'm a fan of it. It's wrestling. Okay. It says something. It meant something when you were like Goldberg's 88-0 and Goldberg is 77-0. It meant something. It meant something when Asuka was undefeated for those 2 years in NXT. It means something to wrestling fans. And I think this is the part about this show. Again, I say this all the time because I do genuinely love this the most about the show is that this is a show for wrestling fans to just be a wrestling fan. This is a show for belt collectors to talk about belts and give you ideas to go find belts, get belts, and throw something to us. Comment below. Let us know. You know how to follow us. Get back at us. We will get back at you. But with that being said, Corey, we're going to get out of here. Episode 11 is in the books. Yeah. All right? The WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. I am Mike Knox with three X's because like the wall says, I'm hardcore. That is my kicks are my fix. Nephew Corey, the Wrestling Marks of Excellence. And with that, y'all, we out of here. Peace.